May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the fifth and final message in a series of messages on Pastor Michael Slaughter's book, Momentum for Life. He's recently retired from the Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church in Tipp City, Ohio. And we've been working with that acronym, you might remember it, DRIVE, from Pastor Slaughter's book. Let's go over that acronym one last time. The D of DRIVE is devotion to God. So when we start with a devotion to God in our time of prayer and meditation, then it puts other things into perspective. Anybody ever have an issue with a coworker or maybe a family member or anything? I won't ask for a show of hands. I'll put mine down. But the point is that when you're in a relationship with one another, when you're working with someone, and you spend time with God in prayer and meditation, you look at that person differently. Yeah, you're ticked with them, but you know one thing else about them is that God died for them and God loves them. So devotion to God really puts everything in perspective. The R is readiness for lifelong learning, and we learn that we need to keep our minds active and completely and continue to develop in God's ways for our lives. The I denotes investing in key relationships, starting with our families, and V indicates a vision for the future. We talked a little bit about that last week. And E stands for eating and exercise. Sounds like fun to talk about today, right? So we're considering eating and exercise today. You may have heard the saying that there is a difference between eating to live and living to eat. And I'm not sure we've got a little clip that we might be able to share at this point. Let's see if it comes through.
To live, these guys live to eat. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The human mouth is called a pie hook. The human being is called a couch potato. That is a device to summon food. That is one of the many voices of food. That is the portal for the passing of the food. That is one of the many food transportation vehicles. Humans bring the food, take the food, ship the food, they drive the food, they wear the food. That gets the food hot. That keeps the food cold. That, I'm not sure what that is. What do you know? Food! That is the altar where they worship food. That's what they eat when they've eaten too much food. That gets rid of the guilt so they can eat more food. Food, 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 food! So, you think they have enough? Well, they don't. For humans, enough is never enough. And what do with the stuff they don't eat? They put it in gleaming silver cans.
Food. Food. So you may have heard that saying. Do we eat to live or are we living to eat? After surviving a hard episode and the resultant examination of his life, Michael Slaughter is most interested in eating and exercising to live. After 38 years of ministry, he moved on to the difficult adventure of the different adventure, that is, as he focuses on the need of the people of Darfur in the region of Sudan. The genocide in Darfur is considered to be one of the most horrendous events of human cruelty and injustice in the world. Slaughter also wants to enjoy his life with his family, including six grandchildren. He writes in the book, "Have you ever heard someone make the statement like, I can't wait to get to heaven, or I can't wait till Jesus comes back?" He continues, he says, "Personally, I can wait. I'm in no hurry to make that celestial trip. It's not that I won't be happy to see Jesus. I'm just really enjoying this incredible gift of life." What makes us unique as humanity is the fact that we are created in the image of God, and God breathed the breath of life into us. That's why every human being matters to God. When it comes to human life, I hold two foundational beliefs. First, is life is a gift from God of which we are called to be good stewards. These bodies are the way in which we experience the world. Through our bodies, we experience each other and we experience God. And just as we are called to be good stewards of this planet on which we live, we are called to care for our bodies. The second foundational belief I hold is that our bodies are the dwelling place of God. We not only experience God through our bodies, but God resides within our bodies. The Apostle Paul, who wrote our passage from Romans this morning, also wrote to the Corinthians. He wrote to them, "Do you not know that your bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." Perhaps you've seen the TV advertisement for a nicotine patch that helps people quit smoking. The tagline for that commercial is, "Every great why needs a great how." Anybody seen that commercial? It's a young man with a son, and his son, his family, becomes the why of the how he is going to quit smoking through that nicotine patch. It is an advertisement. We have to keep that in perspective, right? Well, for Pastor Slaughter, his heart episode became the driving force behind his regimen of self-care, eating well, and exercise. For me, it's about being drug-free. Let me explain. My cholesterol has always been high. Always. When Ruth and I had our blood tests so that we could get married, when they required blood tests when you got married, my doctor took me aside. He said, "Your cholesterol is high." I was, how old was I? 26. I was 26. He says, "Your cholesterol is high." And so if you know the medical community, they play tricks on you, right? So my then elevated, it wasn't high. It was still in the normal range, but it was at the top of the range. So he said, "Watch it, son." I said, "Okay." But then what did the medical profession do? They lowered the range. So then my then normal cholesterol then became elevated. Well, then more further on, they said, "Well, no, there's good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol, and your ratio is good." Okay, so I'm not a heart, at risk for heart disease. But then there's my weight. We have to talk about my weight. I have joked throughout my life that you can tell the amount of stress that I'm under by the size of my waist. I have a nice arrangement of clothing in my closet. You know where I'm going, right? From this size to this size. In the 4 years that I've been your pastor, this might be shocking to you, although if you look at some of the pictures in the hallway from my earlier days here, in the 4 years I've been your pastor, I gained over 30 pounds, lost 40, found 10, and that's my life. My life has always been like that. I'm not one of you people who are really irritating when you say, "I weigh the same as I did as a senior in high school." It just ain't my reality. It's just not. And I know it's not healthy, the roller coaster that I ride, and letting stress get to me. I mean, I can share with you many anecdotal stories about how I deal with stress. That's the why of my how I want to care for my body, is the threats that I get from my doctor to put me on drugs. And so I've lost whatever I've lost. I'm maintaining about 30 pounds less than what I was at my highest. I am drug-free. Praise God. I'm fully aware of the many reasons that people want to remain physically fit. Some people just want to look better, right? They want to fit in the skinny jeans and wear the suit that they were married in. Others want to be physically fit because they want to feel better and more energetic. One of the weight loss programs that I've been involved with over the many years of my roller coaster was after you lose 20 pounds, they put a 20-pound weight on you. It's kind of a belly that's on a harness, and then you get to walk around with it. It's a great moment, right? But you say, "Holy cow! No wonder I couldn't see my feet." You know, certainly being healthier enables us to enjoy life more and enjoy life longer. We have a better chance of seeing our children grow into their adult years, and seeing their children. You may remember that Pastor Slaughter, along with many people of faith, enjoyed the Psalms of Ascent. And one of his favorite is 128. And it says this: "May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem in all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel." And so he shares in his book six factors that influence longevity, and he makes this invitation to a longer life by asking, would you, with me, prefer to stay a bit longer on this earth? Would you, like me, want to find greater energy, joy, and fulfillment in this life? So he has these six factors. So first is attitude. In recent years, numerous scientific studies have shown that there's a positive link between faith and longevity. And so one study, for example, showed that people who pray during illness accelerates their recovery faster. On the other side of that, stress has a strong negative impact on longevity. It makes your cells deteriorate faster, which you can literally see in your hair and in your skin. Just consider, I can't name one president of the United States that didn't age 20 years over an 8-year period of time. Amen? Think about that, waking up to a full nation of problems that you are responsible for and need to address. Not one. They seem to gray, their skin, it's amazing what stress does to you. The second attribute that positively affects longevity is relationships. People with healthy relationships tend to live more satisfying lives. Even those who live alone and have pets have a more satisfying life. I experience this, friends, as I go and see our homebound. If they have a cat or a dog, they just seem to be generally happier people. But fulfilling marriages, good relationships with your neighbors and friends, your children, are ways in which we can be healthier and contributes to longevity. Genetics is third. Our genes have some impact on our longevity. However, some experts have said that our genetic predisposition for any condition is really only about 10%, and that our diet, lifestyle, and exercise have a far greater impact on our overall health. Fourth is mental activity. Some parts of the brain will keep growing if they get enough exercise, and as we get older, it's important to keep learning new things and trying new activities. This connects with one of the other parts of that DRIVE acronym, the readiness for lifetime learning. So are we continuing to learn no matter how old you are? And then he mentions that the fifth and sixth are exercise and diet. The number one cause of death in America is heart disease, but it's largely preventable by eating and exercise and not smoking. So I got to tell you, I got to believe that the majority of you in this day and age have heard all this. I mean, have I really shared anything with you that is earth-shattering, new to you? It's okay if you can say no. No, Pastor Jack, we've heard it all before. This is getting boring. Maybe not. But here's the thing, friends. We all know it. But yet our nation continues to be more obese. Our children continue to be more obese. We continue to be less healthy. I have a friend who takes umbrage with the saying that knowledge is power. We all know this stuff. He says his retort is, knowledge is not power. The use of knowledge is power. The use of knowledge is power. So what is truly remarkable about is the radical nature of Paul's writing about taking care of our bodies. You may remember from a message earlier this summer that the prevailing Greek philosophy during Paul's time was that the body is a prison. It's just a prison house, something to be despised and even ashamed of. What mattered to the Greek was the inner spirit. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, bridges the gap between his Greek citizenship and his Jewish heritage and lifts up the body as something that is honorable and asks that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to our God. Paul really pours on that radical thought as he says, it's not only holy and acceptable to God, it is your spiritual worship. Did you catch from the earlier quote from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that our bodies are not really our own, but that they belong to God? So along with our good stewardship of the earth and our resources, including our financial wealth and possessions, we are to be stewards of our bodies as well. Pastor Slaughter ties together our longevity with a lasting stewardship of our health and well-being so that we can offer leadership to the church and to our world for a very long time. Because when you offer leadership for a long time, it's not only peppered with experience, it's peppered with wisdom. The Apostle Paul doesn't just ask that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, but it goes beyond our passage for this morning. He goes on to compare the community of believers, a body, and as each of us are members of that same body, gifted with for the purposes of that community of believers. So just let me say one more time that this is nearly a heretical statement for many in Paul's day. Paul not only lifts up the body as a holy and acceptable living sacrifice to God, but the very nature of the community of believers is a body also, and that each of us as members of it possess gifts which are used for the greatest purposes of that community. So what is the why of the how you will take care of your bodies? How do you plan to use your body as a living sacrifice to God? Next week, we begin our stewardship program. There'll be three messages, and then on Sunday, the 29th, the last Sunday of this month, we will ask that you make that living sacrifice, one that we pray will be holy and acceptable to God. When it comes to our stewardship program, let me assure you of two things. Our stewardship is not just about money, but also about our time and devotion to God. Remember the D of drive. The second thing is our stewardship campaign is about money. Because the funds you give toward God's ministry here at Central is about how you spend your time. How you've spent your time. You spend more time working and making money than doing anything else. And a gift to the church represents the labor of each of your days. And even if you're retired, it represents then years and years of working. And I'm thankful for those gifts. I'm more concerned about the attitude with which we bring those gifts to fruition for God's kingdom here on earth. And I promise you, take that second verse of Romans 12. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And while I'd hesitate to say that we are perfect, I want to assure you that our staff here at Central Church does all it can to make sure that we're good stewards of what we do as a staff and as leaders. And we do the best to utilize the resources at our disposal for the ministry of this church, for this place and this time. It's your life. It's your life. I believe it's a gift from God. I pray you'll want to put your life in drive for the sake of the Church of Jesus Christ, to present yourselves, your bodies, as a living sacrifice to God, which is our spiritual worship. And I pray you will find the why of your how to care for yourself so that you will live a long life of meaningful service. And that's the word of God for the people of God today here at Central Church, in the name of our loving Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.